Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Michael's Mixdown. Michael's Mixdown is a show primarily about the recording arts, so whether you heard it from the studio or from the stadium, you can hear about it here on Michael's Mixdown. So today, it's been a while since I had a voice actor on the podcast, and I love talking about the voiceover arts, and so I've got my friend Mandy Fisher on the podcast, and we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to be successful in a more professional, advanced kind of way. And the genesis for this conversation was we were talking about a TikTok that you had posted, and somebody was commenting that you didn't need all this thousands of dollars worth of stuff to get started. And while that's true, if you want to be competitive and successful, you need certain tools. So I thought that would make a decent conversation about how to say you've already dipped your toe in. Maybe you've even taken a class and you know that this is what you want to do, and you've got some money maybe, and you want to invest, or you want to know like what direction to go. So where do you go from there?
Yeah, that's the most common question I get is, you know, surrounding the how do I get started? There's kind of a lot that goes into the how do I get started. And just for some context, I got started by accident, and for years, like I'm talking years, I was recording things from my home on a Blue Yeti podcast microphone with a comforter over my head, and like my computer and my microphone and like a comforter over my head. So just for some baseline context, I made that work for myself for years. But that was sort of, you know, six-ish, seven-ish years ago, pre-pandemic. And sort of since then, the competitive marketplace has changed dramatically because the voiceover industry was one of the only ones in entertainment that didn't completely shut down. You know, we were working from home. We were able to work from home because engineers could work from home and voice actors could work from home. And a lot of people already had decent setups because we'd been sending in auditions for, you know, like this for years. So a lot of the expectations for how you sound changed kind of overnight. The expectation increased. So what used to work, you know, with my Blue Yeti and a computer and a comforter over my head kind of morphed into, oh shit, I need a real sound treated booth, a space, something that I can work in with a nicer microphone and an interface and all that kind of stuff, because that's the expectation. So I didn't, you know, make the rules. I didn't change anything. The industry kind of morphed to this, okay, well, what used to be okay and considered good enough no longer was. So, you know, that kind of TikTok is the reason why I made the TikTok, is to kind of explain it. Getting started with that kind of thing is perfectly fine, but you're not going to be able to necessarily work professionally with that kind of thing. So that's a long-winded way of saying the way you get started is by practicing, by taking classes, getting in front of agents and casting directors who teach classes, joining groups where there's other voice actors, and joining workouts where there's other voice actors where you can practice and get feedback, because your peers in the voiceover industry are the ones who are going to probably help you the most. They're the ones with the experience. They're the ones that are currently working, and they're going to be able to give you a lot of really good feedback.
Yeah. And I have an episode of the podcast that is talking about how to get started podcasting more than actual doing voiceover, like commercial work. But my advice is just, you know, download a recording app on your phone, because I assume most people have a smartphone, and go out to your car and, you know, just get used to, you know, like point the phone at your mouth and get used to how to work the mic and where, you know, what you sound like. And then if you think that you can do that, then maybe you can take the next few steps and start spending a little money on some stuff.
Absolutely. That's what I tell people too, really, is just start getting yourself on mic. Start reading whatever you can. Books in your house, magazines. You know, if you hear commercials on the radio, copy that down and just use it as practice. But start, just get yourself on mic and start reading and start listening back to that and hearing yourself do the interpretations of those readings. Because that's really important, is to understand how you sound on mic.
Yeah. And there's a lot of resources out there now. You can go to, I guess, iwantobeavoiceactor.com, I think it's called. And
yeah, D.
Bradley
Baker.
There's so many people that you can go and find resources and learn a little bit. But yeah, it's not necessarily hard to get started. You said that you got started with, the comforter over your head and the Blue Yeti and stuff. So,
yeah.
So you have basically always then worked in voiceover from home then?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think so. For professional commercials or other spots that I was doing, I would go into studios all around New York City, but I did a lot of e-learning and audiobooks and those types of things I produced from home. But if I was doing, you know, a commercial or something else, it was usually in a studio with an engineer on the other side of the glass. But then, you know, that really changed overnight.
Right. Yeah. And then a lot of, I guess maybe if people aren't, you know, industry savvy, a lot of audio changed from being in studio to going and being at home. And a lot of professional voice actors, like in the California LA scene and stuff, I've seen on Instagram and other places, and they had to get a whole setup at home that they never really had that kind of setup before. But
yeah.
Like you were saying, there's a lot of people that do auditions from home, so they would do... they had something at least rudimentary, and then,
exactly, yeah.
And you then know. And that's just kind of evolved into the soundproof booth thing at home. And
yeah, there was a time when I was just recording auditions on my phone and sending it off to my agent, and you could hear all kinds of sounds from, you know, outside my apartment, dogs and construction, and it didn't matter because at the time the expectation was so low for sound quality in auditions. Like, everyone knew, okay, well, we just want to get a sense of the voice and you know, the interpretation of the copy, because the final thing will be done in studio. So no one cared. But now, if you send a file, you know, that's loud off as an audition, they would probably never ask you to audition ever again. The expectation has just changed so dramatically. Yeah. Because you're also auditioning your space. You're auditioning only your voice, but you're auditioning the quality of your space that you're recording in. And if it sounds like crap, you know, there's only so much an engineer can do on the other side. You know, they can take out some extraneous noise. They can manipulate you from the other end. But if your sound is not quality sound, you know, the standard is broadcast quality sound studio. If it's not that, then you're not going to really be able to, you know, book those professional gigs. It's just the reality of the situation now.
Right. So I was just thinking, I think I did you a disservice in not really introducing what you do and where you're from. So why don't you, let's take a step back and let's talk just maybe briefly about the kind of work that you do and where you've been before, and
sure,
why anybody should care what you have to say.
Well, I've been in voiceover for a little over 15 years. I fell into it accidentally. I was a child actor once upon a time in Atlanta and was focusing on theater and commercial and was doing that and pursuing that. And at the time, voiceover wasn't considered cool. It wasn't really considered to be like legit acting. I mean, it was a thing and it was a respected thing, but it wasn't, you know, the ultimate, this is awesome, everybody wants to do this kind of thing. There's a Family Guy episode that I think about where Stewie is like going into try to be an actor, and the acting teacher like lists off in order of legitimacy the things in theater, like legit theater, musical theater, blah, 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 mime. And like voiceover was like mime. It was like the bottom of the totem pole back in the day. So at the time, you know, I was 10. There were maybe three or four other girls my age in the state of Georgia doing voiceover. So one day there was a job that was booked. The girl that had booked it couldn't go. And I guess the other three girls in Georgia couldn't go either. And my agent called and said, hey, can you go to this job? I didn't have to audition. I didn't do anything. And my mom picked me up from school and took me, and I went and recorded this national commercial, never having done voiceover in my entire life. And this is a very not typical journey. I realize that. But ever since then, I got a taste of it, and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever, because it was fun. I got to, you know, act, and I got to learn, and the engineers were cool, and it was great money, and all the things that kind of go into that first excitement of doing something like that. So ever since then, I was kind of on the voiceover track. I still took acting classes and trained as an actor, but it veered away from being, you know, on stage and in front of the camera to behind the mic. So I've been doing it ever since.
Right. And the one of the other things is that most of the voice actor website types and like Rob Paulsen and all these other guys will say, go do stage acting, like do that first. And if you 100%. Can do that, then so.
Because, I mean, the name of the game, it's voice acting. And if you don't have an acting background, I always tell people to absolutely take an acting class, an improv class, some kind of theatrical endeavor where you are interpreting someone else's words, because that's all you're going to be doing as a voice actor is interpreting other people's, you know, words. And sometimes, there's a lot of cool things that can happen in unscripted voiceover, and even in scripted voiceover. Sometimes the things that I come up with are used in final commercials and final spots. So having the ability to do a little bit of improv and to think on your feet is absolutely essential.
Yeah. Which is, you know, we were talking about how to be successful in this field. And so not only do you have to have some skills as an actor, but also if you're going to be successful to like the degree which you are, you need the tools to get there as well, because you
For
can
sure.
be, you know, like I think that there might be a probably talent to equipment ratio. Like if you were the most talented person ever, and you only had a USB mic, somebody might give you a shot because
right.
you're so incredibly talented. But the less, you know, if you're not the most talented person that ever existed, then you need to step up the equipment then to match that ratio. I don't know. It, maybe that doesn't make any sense, but
no, it does.
But I think that if you were so like blindingly like, oh my God, they're the greatest voice actor I've ever heard, but they don't have shit to work with, you know, we'll give them a shot, but if you're less than that, which probably 99.99% of people are, then you need to work on the equipment and the space that you have to record that equipment in too.
And the thing about it is too, you know, I don't think like talent will get you so far, but I think everybody who has a speaking voice has the ability to be a voice actor. You know, it's not some God-given, you know, thing that is very unique or special to me. I think anybody who can talk has the ability to be a voice actor. It's just about getting training and then experience and networking and kind of moving along down the line to make it a career if that's what you want to do. Anybody can do it, is my point. You know, if you start small with the smaller mics and the smaller things and start putting yourself out there and start taking classes and start getting kind of your name out there as someone who's doing this and network with the right people. I mean, hell, it's a lot of it is also like chance. And that's just because that's the entertainment industry. The entertainment industry is just full of friggin' luck. And, you know, talent can, of course, accelerate you in a lot of ways, but you can also kind of learn the talent along the way, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Work ethic and talent go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in life, basically anywhere you can be talented at something if you don't have the work ethic to back it up, but work ethic can bring you that other part of the way if you're not super talented. And then plus experience, you know, you'll gain that as you go along. So.
Right. But yeah, to your point about having like the right stuff, I mean, if you are auditioning, then you have the right stuff. You can't really be auditioning until you have the right, you know, materials, you know, the space and a quality mic and all of the kind of necessary things. Because if you are auditioning and then you book a job and you don't have the right things, they will be pissed. You know, I always tell people, like, I assume if you're asking me about where to find auditions, I assume that you are ready to be auditioning is kind of the point.
Right. And I don't know if a lot of people on the internet are. I think that some people skip straight to like, I want to audition for things.
Sure. Well, they go on things like Fiverr or Upwork and look, I'm not telling people what to do. If you want to go on Fiverr and Upwork and do, you know, 3 minutes worth of audio for $10, that is your path and your journey. And everyone starts somewhere. Do I think that Fiverr and Upwork are good for you to do? No. Do I think they're good for the industry as a whole? No, but those are, you know, my opinions. And the reason I think that is because the way Fiverr and Upwork work aren't symmetrical to how the industry works. So if you're auditioning for something on Fiverr, you're not getting the genuine experience about auditioning for a casting director or auditioning for a talent agent. That's not the same style. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't work that. I don't even think you audition for things on Fiverr.
I think you just send stuff in and.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking for ways to get experience, that is not genuine experience. You're doing yourself a disservice, I think, by starting there. If you want to, you know, later on put up a profile with real industry competitive rates and you find work that way, then like, God bless. But I think it's damaging to you to, you know, try to, first of all, have the mindset of, I need to make money doing this. I'm going to make so much money doing this. Because if you're in it to make the money, let me tell you, that's not a good motivating factor to start voiceover. And if you try to just make money on Fiverr and Upwork, you're not going to have a career. That's a hobby. That's a side hustle. Something that might last you a year because you're going to burn out if that's the path that you take. Just my opinion.
Right. And like I said, in case that hadn't been clear to the listeners at this point, this conversation is more about how to succeed and survive at this industry at a higher level beyond just a hobbyist or getting started. So I don't want anybody to come in here with any heat and go, that's not true. You can't do that. Blah, blah, blah. Like this conversation is centered more around being at a higher level in this industry and what it takes to really succeed beyond I have sort of an interest in this or I have I do this as a hobby or whatever, because like any voice acting I've ever done has just been as a hobby. Like I don't have any aspirations to do it professionally full time, but I enjoy doing it as a hobby. So like, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do, but I think you need to realize that there's a difference between a hobbyist and a professional. So,
sure. Important distinctions.
Yeah, right. I just wanted to make that clear in case anybody was already like in the comment. You know, I don't really have a comment section. I'm not cool enough to have comments. But so if there's a preview of this on TikTok or something, somebody will be like, "That's not true" and stuff. And
yes, yes.
I'm so angry. It's like, all right, be sweaty about it, but it's the truth. Like,
it is the truth. It is the truth. And I am here. I am here for the truth, if nothing but the truth.
So, if you don't mind, tell the people a little bit the kinds of stuff you have done, because I know you've worked for some big commercial names, and you did a thing for Disney, right? And so just maybe if people still don't understand exactly what it is that you're doing, because one of the reasons I'm asking this question is I think most people that talk about voice actor have seen Rob Paulsen and Billy West and Tress MacNeille or whatever, and they go, I want to be like on cartoons, and that's basically what voiceover is. But there's different, I guess, industries within voiceover where people work in commercials. People work, you know, for television voiceover stuff, and then people do animation and movies, and there's just different kind of subgenres of voice work. So,
yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Subgenres. There are dozens. I mean, I could rattle off. Let's just rattle off some of the, you know, little different avenues that there are. There's e-learning. There is telephony and IVR. There's motion capture. There is loop group. There is audio, long-form narration and audiobooks. There's ADR. There's dubbing. There's commercial and radio imaging. Animation. There's, you know, there's a lot. Those are just a handful of things.
Right.
And they each kind of require their own set of skills and things that go into those things. You know, what you would do for animation is different than what you would do for loop group, is different than what you would do for motion capture, is different than what you would do for IVR. So there's lots of different avenues in which to take. And I always tell people when they're kind of starting out is to pick an aim of things that you want to do, and that you know that you're already good at. I am a commercial voiceover artist who also does long form narration, e-learning, and loop group. Those are kind of like my aims. One day I would love to get into animation. I've only done a couple of things in animation, but I do commercial work for Peloton, Macy's, Disney, Amazon. Those are a couple of my clients. And then I do loop group for television and movies. And those are sometimes long projects, and sometimes they're just episodic. So that's a different kind of, a whole different kind of voiceover versus commercial.
Cool. Are those, I guess, we'll call them industries, I guess, for simplicity's sake, but are those industries easier or more accessible to break into than animation? Because most of the animation happens in LA, and I feel like that's what most people probably want to do. Maybe I'm wrong, but so I feel like there's probably more competition to go animation. And I wonder how many people started off, I want to do animation, and then they realize that they can do, you know, this weekend at, you know, wherever, come in and get 40% off or, you know, whatever. But
right. That's a tricky question kind of to answer, because I think you're right. I think a lot of people see, you know, cartoons or, you know, a Disney movie, and they're like, holy shit, that's what I want to do. I want to, you know, I want to voice a Disney princess. I mean, that's a goal. Like, I would love to voice a Disney princess. Who wouldn't? But kind of to your point about animation being mostly in LA, which is true, a lot of animation houses are in LA, but because 90% of the work now is all remote, it doesn't really matter you know, where you are. You could be in Wisconsin and be in a full-time animation, you know, actor, because like I said, 90% of the work is remote. So it's true that, yes, a lot of animation happens in LA, but a lot of specific animation also happens in New York. A lot of video game production happens in New York, and that can be considered animation. So yeah. I think, yeah, a lot of people aspire to start in animation, but I don't think there's an easier route to take. I think I've alluded to the pandemic changing the industry a lot, and it's true. It's what was once sort of a smaller pool of talent has now been flooded with talent. Well, and that's a positive thing. Like I said, I think anybody can do voiceover, and God bless if that's what you want to do. But to your point you made earlier, a lot of the people that are in it now are not really ready to be in it, and there's a lot more noise to kind of cut through. But I wouldn't say one avenue or one industry within voiceover is easier to start in another. I think it just depends on what you want to do and who you meet and what kind of talents you're showing to the people that you get in front of. I mean, if you take an animation class and someone in the class knows somebody who does radio imaging, and they're like, holy crap, you would be great. I'm going to introduce you to my radio imaging manager. And then maybe you'll start doing radio imaging because you didn't even know it was a thing that you wanted to do, or that the contact you met in this animation class had a contact in radio imaging. And then that's how, like, stuff like that happens all the time. But you have to be out there, and you have to be doing classes and networking and talking to people so that they can see what you're capable of. And, right. You know, just be open to the possibility that while animation can always be a goal or a focus for you, if you get hooked into another industry within voiceover, then that can be something that you do while you are working on your goal to get to where you want to be.
Right. And then to the point that you made earlier, it is very unlikely that those people that you were talking about are on Upwork or Fiverr.
Not. There is no, I can tell you there, I can guarantee you that they are not.
Right. So like I said, if anybody is upset by that, like that's, you know,
and I'm not telling you not to do it.
Right.
I'm, you know, if that's what you want to do, then great. Go make that $50. It is not necessarily a bad thing for you if that's what you want to do. Is it, you know, sustainable for your career? In my opinion, no.
Yeah. Right. And one thing, you know, I kind of pull my old man britches like up to my chest and get all huffy about, but people should be allowed to have hobbies. Like, not every hobby should be a second stream of income or a monetized side hustle. Like, if you happen to make a little money doing voice work or stuff on Fiverr because you enjoy doing it, you know, a couple of times a month or whatever, people should be allowed to do that without saying, I am now going to jump to a, you know, professional level and go work for Disney or whatever. And, you know, like, I don't know exactly when it happened, but sometime in the last 10 years, like, every hobby became monetized. Like, everybody wants to film it, put it on YouTube. If I'm just painting like little figures or whatever, everybody wants to film that, put it on YouTube and try to make money out of it. And then I've known some YouTubers to go, I used to love playing video games. Now I have to do it 7 days a week or I can't keep my house. So, like, I hate it.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. If you want to be on Upwork and Fiverr and just do some of these jobs because you enjoy it and you think it's fun and you have, you know, basic equipment that will be sufficient for those jobs,
yeah,
and you do get a little bit of pocket money, then God bless. Like, go do
right.
it. Have fun. If you want to transition that, if you're like, holy crap, I really enjoy this, and you want to transition that into, you know, full-time work, also God bless.
Right.
But again, you know, it's just everyone's got to start somewhere, and no voiceover journey is the same. You know, everybody starts somewhere. Everybody works differently. Everybody does what is best for them. And I would never begrudge somebody if they're like, actually, I make a lot of good money on Fiverr. I'd be like, that's fucking great. Like,
yeah, that's
good.
Fantastic.
Good
right.
for you. Like, I'm really happy that that's how you have found a way to succeed in that. That's
right.
Kudos.
Right. But and the other thing that, and I've even seen a meme or two of this point, is like, you don't have to be professional, like level great at things to have them as a hobby and enjoy doing them.
Sure.
Like you, like I sometimes like to draw. I'm not very good at it, but I'm not going to try to make money off of it, but I do it because I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you should be able to, you know, if you like doing quick little, I don't know what kind of projects, I guess voice stuff has on Fiverr, but if somebody wanted you to do two or three lines for, I don't know, their little video game project that they're working from home on as a, you know, a hobby, like you should be able to do that. And if you're not like the best at it, as long as, you know, they take your work, it's like you should be able to do things too without necessarily trying to escalate them to the professional level.
Yeah, now, get not after to say, it. Like, have if fun.
Yeah. But if you are really good at it and you continue to get better at it, there's nothing stopping you. But I don't know. That's my two cents on the whole like side hustle culture that we have now. Because yeah. I do this podcast because I enjoy it. I enjoy recording stuff and editing stuff. I don't do it professionally for my income, but I enjoy it for fun.
Yeah.
And so that's what it boils down to.
Remember fun. Remember doing things for
yeah.
fun. Like, it's totally, it's great. And if you know, I have a whole slew of resources for people if they just want to do it for fun and are not interested in being a professional voiceover artist. Like, I'm happy to discuss both ends of the spectrum. But
right.
these days, most people want to know in 15 seconds on a TikTok how to be a professional voice actor and be doing what I'm doing at the level of what I'm doing. But it's taken me 15 plus years
right.
to do it. So, you know, it's an interesting world because of the internet.
Right. Right. And then if you tell people most voice actor people have like a, you know, $700 or $800 microphone, they go, no way.
Right.
You don't need that. You can use a USB mic. And it's like, USB mics just don't sound as good, my friend. I'm sorry.
You,
they're fine if
you
it's
can
your hobby,
for Fiverr.
Yeah. XLR is clearly superior.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Full stop.
Clearly. And like I said, like I used it before, and that's how I got started. But the expectations have changed. And if I tried to get on a gig with a client now with a Blue Yeti podcast mic, yeah. I would probably be fired.
Yeah, they may laugh you out of the room at that point.
Yeah, and I don't think right. it would be very good.
Right. And just because the way my brain works, people always bring up the Blue Yeti, but Blue does make professional grade microphones. I don't think
they make
a professional Yeti, but they do make some really nice, sometimes highly expensive.
For sure.
Recording
no, they're
microphones
a great,
too.
They're a great company. Love Blue. Like, not a bad thing to say about it. It's just the Yeti
right,
is
right.
such a recognizable,
yeah.
you know, such a recognizable microphone these days.
Right. And yeah, and a lot of people do have one on their desk for their playing PC games or whatever with their friends and stuff. But
yeah.
it's just the way my head works. I'm always like, yeah, but I don't think people know that Blue makes a ton of microphones with not just the Blue Yeti, but they've got like the baby bottle, which is kind of a funky looking thing, and they've got a couple other. Yeah.
This is like my, I know we're not, but I've got, you know, this was like one of my starter mics. It plugged right into my iPhone and I used this for loads of things. I recorded a national commercial on this baby.
Yeah.
I don't know, five, six years ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what do you have, like a mic locker now, or
do you
mostly stick to the one, or do you?
I do. It's so funny. I've got probably 7 or 8 mics in my booth right now, ranging from things like the Rode Pod mic, Deity Mics, they sent me a microphone based off of my TikTok. They sent me some microphones to try out. So I've got a shotgun mic. I've got a really nice Neumann U87 mic. I've got a whole slew of mics, and for different reasons. I mean, for different types of voiceover work, I've found that they work better for the different types of work that I do. But yeah, they're kind of all over the place now.
Right.
Which is not a bad problem to have.
Right. See, I have two of these, and I have a 58, and that's all I have at the moment. And I keep, like I said, I keep threatening, like, I'm going to buy another microphone one of these days, but it's, like I said, I think it's okay to stay at the hobbyist level and not invest like thousands of dollars into it. So I haven't.
but if it brought you joy and you were like, look, this is, you know, like some people enjoy buying shoes and that there's no ROI on that. It's just the shoes that bring them joy. If you wanted to get another better microphone because it brought you joy to do this podcast, then I say God bless.
Right. And I probably will eventually, but. As far as like my budget for what I want to do in here, I want to upgrade the sound material, first. And some of the money that I'd spent upgrading, I got the Zoom console over here and some bigger speakers that I liked. And I'm more of a speaker and a, you know, headphone nut than I am a microphone nut, but one of these days.
Yeah. No, I think, like I said, if it brings you joy.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone squash your joy, dude.
Right. And everybody spends their money on something, so.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, just to be transparent, I run this microphone through a tube, and then it goes through this board. So my AT2020 may sound different than somebody else's. I don't want to necessarily say better, but I do have some other stuff that it's going through. So if you're just plugging yours straight into a Focusrite, that goes to your computer, that it's going to sound different than what I've got. So if you're wondering why your AT2020 doesn't sound like this, I do have some other things going on that it goes through. Plus I do a lot of processing in Pro Tools too, to try to clear out the, you know, any of the harsh stuff and the nasality that I don't like and anything else like that. So.
And that brings me a good point to editing. A lot of people ask me about editing my files before I send them off as auditions. And I don't edit them at all, really. I raw dog those babies and I take out maybe like beginning end noise and end noise. But as far as processing or adding any kind of compression or de-esser or noises or de-clicks or de-breathers, any of that kind of shit, I don't do for a number of reasons. And the first one is because I think the more you do that, the less authentic your read becomes. You start chipping away at the genuine sound of you and your interpretation and your read. And two, if a casting director hears it, they can smell it a mile away. They're like, this is highly processed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not interested in that. They don't like that. So I don't edit, really. I don't edit anything. Even if there's like a breath or something that I'm like, I leave it in.
Yeah. Yeah. If they want to edit it out, they will. That's what they pay their audio guy for.
Right. Well, I mean, if they were looking for a finished product, you know, that's a different story.
So you're just talking about auditions.
Auditions.
Then, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because and to your point, if they hire me for the job, I'm going to be working with an engineer, and they're the ones that do all that shit, and that's not my job. So
yeah.
save that for them.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're paying for an audio person, then they probably want that person to do the job instead of.
Yeah, it's going to be better than what I do anyway. So, you know, let them worry about it. But for auditions, absolutely. If you're auditioning, do not, don't edit your files too much. Just don't.
Yeah. Just raw dog them.
Raw dog them from me to you.
Maybe that'll be the title of the episode. No, I don't. I actually don't really do like titles to episodes much. I normally, if I'm talking to a person, I just put their name on it. Or if I'm talking about an album or a specific song, I just put that. But
Well, I'll leave that to your creative abilities, however you want to handle that situation.
So if you're, let's say you're just at a party or with friends or people, you know, or whatever, do you just do voices to them, or because some people do, like, I like to just do corny voices of people. And I've got one friend in particular, like, begs me to do voices because he just pisses himself. But like, some people are like, why do you just stop? Just don't. Put the British accent away. Leave us alone.
Oh, British accent. That's one of my go-tos. Yeah. So every once in a while I get together with a group of voiceover friends, and the non-voiceover people that are with us, it's like, to them, it's just like a collection of every advertisement they've ever heard. Because they're like, oh, I heard you doing 7-Eleven, and I heard you doing Dunkin', and I heard you doing, you know, something for this financial institution. And they hear this conglomerate of voices of things that they already associate, you know, brands or products to. So that's always kind of fun to have people recognize and be like, wait, I know this is from something that I know, but I'm not 100% sure where I know it from. Because we've been lingering in your ear for so long. but with my loop group friends, looping is a whole other animal. So yes, with the loop group people, it's constant. It's just improv. It's all it is. It's just a bunch of dorks getting up in front of a microphone and doing improv. And so with looping, yeah, we're constantly kind of one-upping each other and doing crazy voices and sounds and trying to just make each other laugh. So, you know, right. there's kind of two different worlds in voiceover. You've got the people who are just your, you know, you recognize them because you hear them in frickin' everything. And then the kind of improv people who you've heard but maybe wouldn't be able to, like, pinpoint specifically. Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever approached you and be like, wow, you sound like the Peloton lady. You would be great for, like, radio stuff or commercials or.
It happens. I mean, it happens when I'm, like, on the phone. If I'm talking to people on the phone, like, a couple weeks ago, I was upgrading my car insurance, and the guy was like, you sound so familiar. This is so weird. It's going to drive me crazy. And I was like, well, I don't know if you listen to Spotify or if you, you know, have seen this commercial on TV or this commercial or this radio station. And he was like, it's the radio station. I do radio imaging for a radio station. He was like, I listen every morning on my drive in. You know, I hear them say 92.3. And that's, you know, it's okay. I do the call outs for that station. He was like, I knew you. So sometimes, but, you know. I have a face for radio, and I work from home, so I don't see anybody. I don't go anywhere anymore. So it's rare when I'm out in the wild and people recognize me. But sometimes, you know, on the phone, they'll think, oh, you sound so familiar.
Right, and see, I sound a little different in person when I talk, because the louder I get, like, the more nasal I go. So if we're out, like, in a crowded place and I have to be louder, I sound a lot different. So I've had several people listen to the podcast and go, that's not what you sound like. I'm like, well, I can't get right up here in your ear and whisper like this. So
right. We're not doing ASMR today, yeah. People. It's funny you said that, because there was in a TikTok, I show what my audition was, mm-hmm. and then what the final spot was. And there was this one for Crayola. I showed my audition in it, and I was using sort of this, my regular speech, and the final, everyone was like, that doesn't sound like you. Like, why doesn't that sound? Are they processing it? Did they edit it? Blah, 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 blah. And then I kind of did another video where I was like, no, it's just, they wanted something brighter. They wanted something different. And so I changed my voice to sound different, because that's what they asked for, because that's what I do.
Right.
And so, you know, they didn't understand, like, oh, like, that's part of the process is if the client is like, actually, you know what, I really like your energy, but I really want to hear something brighter, darker, sadder, angrier, louder, softer, meaner. I mean, you kind of have to take that in and adjust your voice to those directions.
That's the acting part.
That's the acting part.
See, like, I'm from the Midwest, and people go, you know, like, we don't have accents here. And I'm like, I will hold up an orange, and I'll say, what color is this? And they go, orange. And I'm like, that is.
There's a whole slew of Midwestern accents for sure.
Yeah, and see, I'm from Indiana, and people think Indiana is for some godforsaken reason they think it's from the South. Like people that live here think we live in the South. There's Confederate flags, and there's, you know, all kinds of stuff everywhere. But there's a lot of like Southern, like Texas to Florida kind of drawl. I hear a lot up here. People say y'all a lot, and I'm like, man, we don't live in the South. But,
you're in the Midwest. You know. Spoiler alert. I don't know if you need a little geography lesson, but you're in the middle of the country.
Right. But it is interesting living in the middle of the country. You do hear some different accents. And it seems like accents stand out more to us because people in Boston probably don't think that they sound as weird as we think they sound. Like that's just totally normal to them. But then we hear people from a little more west, and you get to that like Minnesota accent, like this.
Where they have tacos. They eat a lot of tacos. Yeah.
And they go, oh, you know, how are you now? And stuff like that. And
right.
I used to work with a guy that I don't know why we started doing it, but we just bump into each other at work and just go, oh, how are you now? Oh, that's great. That's great. How's the kids?
Because you saw Fargo and it was stuck in your head.
Yeah, just something. I don't know. But we just like to do that there Minnesotan accent there.
It's so sweet. It's such a sweet little accent. That's why. And it's fun.
There was a guy on TikTok. I don't know if he still is, but he used to do like a, I don't know if it was Wisconsin or Minnesota, but it was like different skits that were really heavily reliant on that accent, that kind of Norwegian descendant type accent.
Yeah.
And there was like the Midwest Siri app, but it was Cheryl. And Cheryl would, you know, like come on and go, oh dear, this is, you know, you don't need to go to that store today.
Oh,
how about you go to this one and stuff?
Yeah, I've totally seen that.
But anyway, I like that accent. It cracks me up. But I don't know. There's something kind of sweet. Like I think a lot of people have like an auntie or a grandma or somewhere from like that part of the country, and so they've just kind of heard that before.
Well, and it's very, you know, it's very unassuming. Like it is what it is. You know, it's very unassuming. You get what you get with it, and I think that's why it's kind of comforting. You know, it's like if Dolly Parton was talking to you. It's very face value. There's not a whole lot. There's not a whole lot of hiding behind. It is what it is, and I think maybe that's what brings the genuine comfort out of hearing it.
Yeah. But like, you know, people from around here, probably if they heard somebody from the Bronx or something, they would be like, that sounds really rough or really abrasive in some way.
Right.
So it's just, you know, not that it is. It's just I feel like that's probably what people's perception probably is around here.
Out of context, it's probably, you know, what it probably is just jarring to hear.
Yeah, maybe.
Context.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was once on a flight with a guy that was clearly from Boston, and I was like, I couldn't stop listening to him because it was just so different from, like, what everybody else sounded like.
Accent work is very, it's very fascinating. It's very humbling sometimes because when you're trying to work with accents and with people, especially who have those accents naturally, it can be, you know, I really admire actors who can just switch from one to the next so seamlessly, and British actors who do flawless American accents or Irish actors who do, you know, flawless American accents. It's very impressive because it is, there's a lot of nuance in accent work that you don't necessarily think about. You know, you're not just mimicking. It's a very internalized thought. Like your brain is constantly hardwiring these new things to say them differently. So it's exhausting, but it's very fun.
And like there's even like a different vocabulary that comes with it.
Exactly. Too. It's like learning a language. It's learning to speak differently than what you are accustomed to, and that requires a lot of work.
Right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to cover as far as, I don't know, have anybody been bugging you for any kind of tips or tricks or anything that you just from now on you could just point to this and go, okay, just go listen to that, and I won't have to repeat this over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know by now on my TikTok, I cover a lot of things, red flags or things to look out for, or ways to get started, or you know, things to do in jobs. If you're right now, if you're booking jobs and you're working, but I think the thing to like ultimately remember is that it is a job, it's a business. And while it's fun sometimes and exciting and can really, you know, you can really chase the dopamine in voiceover, at the end of the day, it is a job, and it's not always glamorous. It's not always fun. And sometimes you're working with people who are, you know, they're working with $1 million budgets sometimes. Mm-hmm. And as a voiceover artist, you know, you're kind of the last piece of the puzzle. Like they spent, if you're working on a car commercial, for example, they've spent millions of dollars on the shots of the commercial for the car, because the car is the star of the show. You are an ancillary part of that commercial. So, you know, their main focus is getting it done and sounding beautiful to accompany the millions of dollars they've already spent on this car commercial. But, you know, they're working with bigger, more important kind of fish to fry. And sometimes that can come out on you in ways that you don't expect, like this, not a lot of patience. They want what they want quicker. You know, they're working on quicker timelines. So I think that the important thing to remember at the end of the day is that it's a business, and that you kind of have to be a duck in a lot of ways and let things roll off your back and move on to the next thing and not take things super personally and just do good work. And, you know, remember that the next client will be different, and the client after that will be different, and the jobs after that will be different. And if you approach it from a business angle and not, I'm trying to do this to make money, I'm doing this because it's fun, I'm doing this because of all these other, it is first and foremost a business. So as long as you keep that as your main perspective, then you're going to be great. You're going to kick ass, and you're going to have a fabulous career.
All right. And you could have a really successful TikTok account also.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, God bless. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, you have any other closing thoughts, remarks, anything else that.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
That's kind of my standard. Just don't be an asshole. And you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't be, but by not being an asshole, you will have a lot more success, because the voiceover industry, I mean, I know I'm sounding a little dichotomous here because I said it's flooded with people, but the number of people who are actually working is quite small. And if you are a jerk, you don't really get another chance to not be a jerk. So just don't be a jerk to begin with, because people like working with nice people. And if you make their life easier by not being a jerk, then the chances of you getting hired over the jerk who might be more talented, who might have the better microphone, who might be, you know, more experienced than you, you will probably get the job over the jerk. Just so you know, don't be an asshole.
Yep. Don't be a jerk. Get the job.
Amen.
There's some kind of, you know, saying in that needs some work, but
it's there. The bones of it are there. You know, we'll work it out. You know, we'll get there.
Well, thanks for coming on the show and talking about voiceover stuff with me. And
my pleasure.
Hopefully some people got some information out of this and they didn't get too upset about.
Look, if you're butthurt over something I said, like, you can absolutely email me or find my TikTok or come and comment, and I'm happy to discuss things in further detail. If there was something that you didn't like or were confused about, I will gladly clear up any confusion if I can.
Yeah. And if not, oh well. They're probably a jerk.
Exactly.
Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk.
Remember that before you contact Mandy. Don't be an asshole. Don't be a jerk.
And God bless.
Yeah, and God bless.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere, do you want to drop that TikTok handle, or is there any other things that you, where you want people to find you, find your work, or anything like
Sure. Astoria Redhead on TikTok is my TikTok handle. And that's probably a good place to start. If you mm-hmm. get there, then, you know, we can go from there. But Astoria Redhead on TikTok is a great place to start, because that's where I talk about all my voiceover stuff. So if that's where you want to start and learn some more or get in touch with me from there, then go for it.
Right. And don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
All right. Well, and if you liked this episode of the podcast, you want to hear more, it's Michael's Mixdown. You can hear that basically in any podcast player that you can find. And if you, for some reason, wanted to go and follow my social media stuff, which isn't very involved really, but you can find me at Michael's Mixdown on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I'm m.mixdown on TikTok. And I've got a few videos on there to explain some audio stuff. So if you were curious about how to get into editing work, audio work, there's a few things on there that may help you get started. And I've got other episodes of the podcast to help talk about those things too. So if you enjoyed this, maybe go check it out, share it with a friend, send it to somebody else that is interested in this kind of stuff. You know, pass it around a little.